From Given, this is Purposing, the podcast that lifts the lid on how to run a truly purpose-driven business. I'm Becky Willen, and with the help of leaders at some of the world's most recognized brands, I'll be demystifying this often misunderstood topic into clear, actionable advice you can use in your own business. This week, I'm joined by Karen Ann Allen, Group Sustainability Director at Geopost. Karen is currently leading the charge on decarbonising Europe's largest parcel delivery network and championing the power of collaboration to drive meaningful environmental impact. In this conversation, you'll hear how transport and logistics, one of the world's most carbon-intensive sectors, can become a driving force for climate action, how Geopost is cutting emissions across a complex outsourced network by shifting supplier mindsets and behaviours, and the role of policy, infrastructure, and governance in scaling cleaner delivery, and why clarity and long-term vision matter. But before all that, let's explore Karen's own journey and how her experiences helped shape her view of purpose as a driving force for positive change. Growing up in Johannesburg, Karen's sense of purpose took shape early on, rooted in a deep concern for people and the planet.
And I was always very involved when I was at school in different types of community projects and clubs. Like I was very involved in what we had in South Africa called the Interact Clubs, and always very interested, or I cared a lot about social justice.
That early awareness carried through to her studies in Europe, a double major in international relations and communications, specializing in development. Her sights were set on the charity and humanitarian sectors until one internship opened her eyes to a new kind of impact.
As part of my communications degree, I ended up doing an internship in a large food and beverage company in what was back in the day CSR and issues management. I was there for about a year and I started thinking, well, maybe there's another way to try and create impact, and perhaps by working within the corporate world, yeah, maybe some of the things that were important to me could also maybe be amplified.
She went on to spend a decade at that same company, eventually moving into sustainability roles where she worked on water stewardship and helped shift how the business thought about its role in the wider system.
What I found really interesting is working on how you can also support the change and manage that change in terms of what was expected of local teams, you know, factory managers and things like that. You also need to not only be looking within the walls, but also understanding how you can collaborate and engage more outside of the factory.
Today, Karen leads on sustainability engagement at Geopost, helping the company stay on track towards its environmental goals and working across teams to embed sustainability at every level.
And so it's really about creating the right environment, I guess, where sustainability can prosper and we can move towards our goals.
So Karen, welcome to the show.
Great, thank you very much for having me.
So Geopost is a huge business, but it might not be a familiar name to everybody listening. So can we start with what you do as a company?
Well, thank you very much. So Geopost is a European leader in parcel delivery and retail solutions. We operate in around 50 countries across all segments, so B2B, B2C, C2C. And we also offer both home and out-of-home delivery solutions, both domestically and internationally. You might actually better know us as DPD in the UK, but we also have other subsidiaries in Italy, BRT, that are known as BRT, and we have Jadlog, for example, in Brazil. So we're very present in Europe, but we're growing and expanding internationally. So just to give you an idea about the size of the company, in 2024, we posted revenue of around 15.8 billion euros, and we delivered around 2.1 billion parcels. And we have around 57,000 employees across the globe.
So Karen, where would you say that Geopost is on the purpose journey? You don't have a purpose statement as such, but you have a vision that really puts sustainability front and center. You talk about a future where companies, communities, and the planet prosper together, where purpose and profit form a powerful alliance. So what does that really mean in practice?
So in practice, really what we're working towards becoming is the international reference in sustainable delivery. And one of the key programs that we put in place is around decarbonization. And we have a very bold commitment to become net zero by 2040. And we actually reduced our emissions by around 5.4% between 2023 and 2024. And if you look at that on a restated basis, and since 2020, we've reduced our emissions by around 11%, while our volumes have actually grown at around the same rate. So in around 2022, we actually submitted our commitment to the SBTi, and we were the first global parcel delivery company to have both our near-term and long-term SBTi targets approved by the organization. So in essence, what that means is that we're working towards reducing our emissions by 43% by 2030, and that's in absolute terms and across scopes 1, 2, and 3, and obviously then reducing our emissions by 90% by 2040, and again, across scopes 1, 2, and 3. I think it's also important to keep in mind that as GeoPost, 90% of our emissions are scope 3. So that means that we are working very closely with our different service providers and transport partners to meet those objectives. Concretely, the way that we're working to do that is by focusing on switching away from fossil fuels towards alternatives, mostly electric technologies. Today, we have around 15% of our delivery vehicles that are electric. For example, in some of our business units like the UK, around a third of the fleet is electric. So we're making good progress. And then again, we're also working very hard at looking at how we can reduce emissions from what we call our line haul segment, which is essentially, you know, the trucks that we're using to move parcels between our hubs and our depots. And for the moment, we're quite focused on looking at HVO as a transition fuel. So we have around 16% of the kilometers that we drive that are powered and fueled by HVO. And that we do very firmly believe that, you know, electric track technologies will play an important role in the future.
So one of the things I'm really interested in is what are the drivers for that ambition setting? So what were the triggers at the time, you know, 2022, 2023, that really enabled your leadership team or drove your leadership team to set out such an ambitious vision?
So I think there are a couple of key drivers. First and foremost is obviously, you know, as a transport and a parcel delivery company, we know that we have a significant impact on climate change. So I think it was really important for us to make a bold commitment to reduce our emissions and in a significant way. But I think also, you know, we work for a lot of different companies, both big and small, and it's really a priority for a number of them who themselves have also set their own climate-related goals and targets. So, you know, as a transport service provider, we also need to accompany them and to support them in their own decarbonization journeys. I think also more broadly, you know, we are part of La Poste Group, so the French postal operator. And I think they are essentially and you know, very much a service, a public service-based company. And they were also one of the first companies to become an entreprise à mission, which is a certain legal status in France for companies that put, you know, both profit, people and planet on the same level.
Brilliant. So let's touch on that a little bit more, because as you said, GeoPost is owned by La Poste Group. That's a publicly owned limited company in France. So that means that the business is governed under French law. And I think many people would consider France really be raising the bar on regulation when it comes to the corporate purpose and sustainability agenda. So you've mentioned entreprise à la mission, I think, if I've pronounced that correctly. And there's also the PACT law. So that translates as the Action Plan for Business Growth and Transformation law, which really, as I understand it, mandates that French companies, regardless of size, consider social and environmental issues in their corporate management. So I'd love to explore what impact that's had at GeoPost in recent years.
So of course, I think for us, you know, as GeoPost, the impact hasn't been direct. It's been more indirect, if I can put it that way. And really, I think it's about kind of reinforcing an existing culture within the company, which is really, as I said earlier, based on a public service mission. And the group, in terms of becoming an entreprise à mission, they've committed to a number of goals, primarily also very much aligned with the wider work that they do on sustainability. So contributing to regional development and cohesion, supporting social inclusion, obviously also working towards speeding up the environmental transition for all, and also promoting ethical and inclusive digital technology as a business. So I think having that as the groundwork being laid, it has also made that culture that's allowed us to kind of set those more bold ambitions as a business. And I think that's been really helpful to us in terms of kind of pushing this forward within the business.
I think that's so interesting, isn't it? Because I think a lot of people would articulate regulation as being more of a stick that sort of pushes companies that are perhaps behind the curve. But I think what's also really interesting is to think about regulation actually as the sort of as the carrot that gives motivation to companies who are already well on the journey, actually that extra sort of motivation to go even further. And I think that's a sort of a different way of thinking about regulation as it relates to sustainability that perhaps is just as useful, but less talked about.
And I would agree with that. I think also, if you were to take the CSRD, so again, as GeoPost, we weren't directly subject to compliance with that law, but we contributed and we worked a lot with our colleagues in the post to get that over the line earlier this year. And I think what we've really seen there is that it was an opportunity to also kind of, challenge some of the policies and practices that we had and, see where we could maybe doing more and better. And I think it really kind of contributes to helping to create a business that's more resilient in the long term by kind of asking the right questions as part of, the work that you do to comply with certain regulations and legislation.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it would be great to share a couple of really tangible examples of how this kind of regulation has not just shifted the ambition, but actually led to decisions that make sustainability a bigger part of your core business strategy.
One of the big benefits of having legislation and regulations on sustainability is that it helps sustainability teams to really put this topic on the desks of all, sort of group level teams. I think that's been really helpful. I think in terms of, obviously you have the compliance piece, but we also have voluntary targets and commitments that we've made as a business. So I spoke about net zero earlier. And I think the fact that we've made that net zero commitment has really helped and facilitated, the work that we do on decarbonization. One thing to know about GeoPost is that we're quite a decentralized company. So a lot of the decisions are actually made within our business units. And by having that sort of forward-looking target, it's really helped us to bring everyone together and kind of work towards a common goal. One of the outcomes of that has actually also been, to think about how we can then better manage the fact that we're sticking to that carbon reduction pathway. And a couple of years ago, the sustainability team started working very closely with finance to really kind of see how together we can work on decarbonization. And one of the outcomes of that, the carbon budget, which is essentially a mechanism that we're using to make sure that all of our investments and our spend in decarbonization is aligned with our carbon reduction pathway. And that's been really important for a number of reasons. Firstly, because obviously now the carbon budget is presented at the same time as the financial budgets by the business units to the executive committee. It's also allowed us to have more visibility on, what we are spending and the investments that we are making in decarbonization, and also helps us to make better decisions when it comes to where we want to invest and how we want to kind of continue to decarbonize.
That's fascinating. So, and I think is a really great example of how important non-financial metrics are when it comes to decision making. And I think that effective decision making is such an important part of the implementation of any strategy. I think especially in an organization that's pretty mature when it comes to sustainability. And I think lots of sustainability leaders will be operating in, the messy middle where the quick wins have been won, and actually making progress at that same rate is really tough. What are some of the challenges that you're facing in that sense, and what are some of the different ways that you're approaching them?
So when you look at our business, we have two sort of main areas where we have the most impact in terms of our carbon emissions. So basically what everybody sees, which is kind of last mile delivery, where we have our, mostly vans, delivery vans. So we're making really good progress in that area. I think some of the challenges now that we're up against are related more to charging. So, do we have enough chargers on site? We're working a lot on trying to kind of create the right conditions that will allow us to move towards zero emission tracks.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think when you get to this point, I think in the sort of maturity curve, you really need to think beyond the immediate and direct impacts and about the impact of the wider system and the role that you play in influencing that. So I think you've already started to touch on this, but what are some of those wider systemic changes that are needed within the transport and logistics system? What impact does that have on GeoPost, and what role can GeoPost play in contributing towards sort of more positive outcomes for the whole system and all the players within it?
Absolutely. So I think it's kind of also good to kind of put things back into some context. And, if you look at freight transport in Europe, around 80% of freight that is transported by land is actually transported by trucks. And today, the transport and logistics sector represents around 11% of GHG emissions globally. And it's a sector that's very interconnected. There's thousands and thousands of companies and, large players, very small players that are working in this industry. So I think it's really about, how do we as GeoPost, we're a fairly large player, how can we also create the demand for alternatives to diesel trucks, for example. And there's a number of ways that we're looking at doing that. So, for example, we were one of the founding members of Climate Group's EV 100 Plus initiative. And there, what we're really looking to do is to kind of send the signal to OEMs, so vehicle manufacturers, but also policymakers, that there is a demand and a need for the ramping up and the increasing the availability of zero emission trucks. But then at the same time, we're also working more broadly within this industry with other transport companies, but also shippers, so our customers, in terms of, understanding, how can we overcome some of the obstacles through pilot projects, working together on frameworks that are going to help kind of push and create those enabling conditions for the industry to move towards zero emission trucks. So some of the examples that I can share with you. So we were very active in Europe over the last couple of years, calling for the CO2 regulations on HVDs, which is essentially, asking vehicle manufacturers to provide a certain amount of zero emission trucks on the market by a certain date. And because we believe that, that will help to kind of, build the markets and make those trucks more available. Again, thinking more collectively how we can kind of overcome some of these challenges.
So Karen, you've touched on this already, and just in terms of the role of policy and regulation and related to those structural systemic changes, what would you like to see more from governments in terms of creating those enabling conditions needed for more progress when it comes to sustainability in the sector?
As a business, I think what we would really benefit from is certainty. And that when policies are decided and put in place, that we have some degree of visibility and certainty in the medium to long term. I think, obviously, Rome wasn't built in a day. Obviously, often investment decisions are made over time. And if we aren't able to, go back to, to our decision makers and say this is something that we're certain is going to still be in place, in 3-5 years' time, it just makes our job that little bit more difficult. So again, I would really say like certainty, I think, and thinking in a very kind of joined up manner, in a systemic manner, because obviously, we've spoken a lot about the need to switch to electric trucks, for example. But then that also means that we need to make sure that, charging infrastructure and policies and legislations in place to make sure that that's happening. And, also with regards to, fuel regulations and, moving towards renewables, everything is really joined up. And I think, we need to have a very, very holistic and kind of joined up approach to the way that we're looking at building, the right policies to move the transition forward.
And I think just then returning to the internal dynamics around sustainability, because those two aspects really have to go hand in hand, don't they? The enabling conditions in the system that you're part of, as well as the internal system of the organization. And I think sustainability, just like any other business or management idea, is only going to create value for an organization. It's only going to have an impact if it's implemented effectively. And I think in our experience, that requires both the hardwiring, more of the kind of the governance, the systems, the process side of things, but also softwiring into mindsets, behaviors, the sort of that more informal way of doing things. And so I'm really curious about how you're approaching that wider piece at Geopost and I guess what you think is working well and where you think there's still more work to do.
Yeah, so I very much agree. I think, if we're able to win the hearts and minds of our colleagues, it'll help us, just so much with, making the right decisions and moving sort of the transition that we're working towards forward. And so some of the work that we're doing, and it might seem quite basic, but it's also just awareness building and training. So we're doing the last 3 years now, we've really been putting a focus on training, especially around climate change and the causes and the consequences and how we as a business can help to address some of those challenges. So I think to date, we've trained, just over 1,500 colleagues across Europe on climate. And we're also now working more on how we can also better engage kind of our colleagues in a sustainability discussion with us. Because I think, obviously we know today that, people, you know, make decisions to join a company. They're looking for purpose in their work and things like that. So, and people want to have their voice heard. So we've held a couple of sessions over the last couple of months around sort of like a lunch and learn type format, you know, where we open a discussion around a particular topic, be it climate change, be it resource use. We try to get experts to come in, but also really leave some time for people to ask questions and to challenge us. I think that's really important. But then also trying to kind of also, educate and raise awareness amongst managers about how can we actually manage for sustainability. And that doesn't only mean, you know, giving team members time to go and take part in a training, but it's also about how within each individual function and individual role, we can incorporate sustainability into the way that we're actually working. And we also have some really interesting sort of initiatives coming out of our business units, like around recognizing efforts to move the dial on sustainability. So DPD and Ireland, they've done some really interesting work around something they call the Green Flag Initiative, which is also recognizing the depots that are managing and moving sustainability forward. So be it through the fact that they've brought on more electric vehicles, or they've done training, they're working with their local communities. So it's also a way, I think, of recognizing and rewarding efforts where they are, and again, kind of having sustainability very visible and very present in the way that we communicate about different things within the business.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that recognizing that sustainability is an essential capability skill area for every part of the business, I think we're definitely seeing more of that. And also that appropriate education solutions are really required to make that relevant, given that I imagine that the changes that can be brought about in finance are going to be very different from the impact that a driver might make. You know, how much does driver behavior and the choices that a driver makes actually have an impact on your ability to sort of achieve those big decarbonization goals over the long term? And is that a particular focus for you?
Absolutely. So I think one thing to know also about the way that GeoPost operates is that we are relatively asset light. So we do own a certain number of our vehicles, but we also work with a lot of transport partners, across our business. And so drivers do play a very important role. So obviously, there's training that's done in terms of, training drivers in how to drive like in a very environmentally friendly way, if I can put it that way. So eco-driving. But also really importantly, it's about how we can also support those companies that we're working with to switch to electric vehicles. So, we want to make that as seamless as possible. So oftentimes it means that we, take on the additional cost. But it's also then about, being able to demonstrate that, driving an EV is beneficial, not only from an environmental perspective, but we're also getting closer and closer to cost parity with the diesel equivalents. And also, I think what we sometimes maybe forget about is also from a social perspective, but also driving an EV, particularly, an e-truck, for example, it's also a better driving experience. There's less noise, there's fewer vibrations. The driver aspect is incredibly important.
And as someone who drives an electric car, I think anyone who drives an electric car really gets the benefits of that driver experience, for sure. I think that's really interesting, that kind of that idea that procurement and supply chain is both, I guess, has been a driver for GeoPost to really be more ambitious about sustainability, given the role that you play in helping your B2B customers meet their commitments, but also is a lever that you need to pull to encourage and facilitate more of those players in your supply chain, your delivery partners, to adopt as well. So you're sort of in the middle of that system, which I think is really interesting.
Yeah, and I really think that's what really makes the transport and logistics industry so interesting. It's that we're not only the scope 3 of our customers, we also have a really big scope 3 ourselves. So, as GeoPost, our scope 3 emissions represent around 90% of our overall carbon footprint. So we know that that's where the challenge lies, which is why the procurement aspect is so important. And it's not just, it's not just about saying that, we will only be buying, from transport service providers that drive electric. It's about how can we also support them in making that transition. And today, most transport that is done by road is powered by diesel. I think today there's around 96% of trucks that are on the road in Europe are diesel, which means that there's a very small percentage that are running on anything else, like be it petrol, electric, or, HVO or something like that, natural gas. So I think that's really important to keep in mind. We have our finger on the pulse of the economy too. So, we are, we're part of the value chain of so many different industries, you know, and we have a really important role to play as another company's scope three. And so if we're able to kind of create a system or help to create a system that is moving towards more decarbonization because we have the types of vehicles that we need available, because the charging infrastructure is there that we need, that means that we're supporting more than just the transport industry, more than just Europost. You know, we're supporting more industries more broadly speaking. So yeah, the transport industry is a really interesting space to be in. You know, when we are talking about decarbonization and how we are a partner to so many different industries too, that, you know, it is a very fragmented sector too. You know, there's hundreds and thousands of companies operating, and we all rely and depend on one another because there is a lot of outsourcing within the sector.
So, Karen, what's your top advice for leaders who really want to play a positive role in changing the system that they're part of?
I really do believe that if we want to move things forward and work on like systems change, it really has to go through collaboration. And we've seen that really bear fruit in some of the work that we've been doing over the last couple of years by, you know, working with different partners. So I really do believe that collaboration with our customers, collaboration with our service providers, and collaboration with, you know, the wider sector is incredibly important to move forward on sustainability. I think it's also really important to be consistent. I think, you know, we need to set a direction. You know, in terms of Geopost, we've been very clear about net zero being kind of an important goal for us within the business. And that's really, you know, by being consistent, by communicating, you know, within the business that this is the direction that we're taking. As I said earlier, it's really been something that has helped us as a decentralized company kind of, you know, pull teams together and move forward in the same direction. So I think that's really important. And I also think that we cannot underestimate the importance of conviction by being convincing and being convinced. I think, you know, if we're able to, again, win kind of also the hearts, but also the minds of people, you know, and obviously we need to put forward the business case and things like that. But ultimately, you know, we also need to convince people that this is not only the right thing to do, but it's going to help build a resilience for the company, you know, long-term licenses to operate and things like that. So that's really what I would focus in on in terms of, important things to remember.
And I guess one of the things that struck me through this conversation is that the reason for the growth in logistics and kind of transport is our sort of insatiable demand for instant delivery and no delayed gratification and sort of next day deliveries. And because I guess that's driven the incredible kind of success of the business. It's also played a huge role in the growing carbon impact of the sector. Is that even a conversation that happens?
So it's definitely a conversation that we have regularly internally. What we believe is that, you know, we are a company that is very much committed to reducing our emissions, and we want to be able to provide low carbon solutions to all our customers, you know, ultimately, regardless of who they are, and helping them to kind of, you know, move towards zero emissions in the last mile. What's important to know in terms of sort of, you know, from an efficiency perspective, it's that obviously what we're looking for is to deliver on our customer promise. So if we've promised, you know, delivery within a certain amount of time, 2 day, you know, next day delivery, that we're able to meet that promise. But what really will have an impact on whether that's sustainable or not is the extent to which we're able to fully charge our vehicles. So what we want to avoid is sending half empty vehicles out because, you know, we've promised that we're going to deliver in an hour or something like that. That's obviously something that, you know, you don't want to do. You know, during COVID times and things like that, volumes were so high that there was very rarely an issue, like the vehicles were full. So it's a difficult one to answer because ultimately, you know, again, we're providing service for demand that is being created elsewhere. What we want to focus on is making sure that we're able to at least do our part in reducing the impact of that demand.
Absolutely. I think what you're saying is that the response is practical rather than philosophical.
Yeah. And for me, it's really about, you know, making sure that we're able to influence in as positive a way as we can that last mile and what we can control. And we know that we're firmly committed to reducing our emissions, and we want our customers obviously to benefit from that. Perhaps also interesting to know is that we run an e-shopper barometer every year, and some of the insights that we have from that show that 58% of e-shoppers believe that it's important for an online retailer to provide more sustainable delivery options. And around half of them believe that, you know, just by being delivered with an EV, for example, they consider that to be sustainable delivery. So there is a demand for more sustainable delivery services. And we believe, obviously, with the fact that we are increasingly moving towards lower carbon delivery solutions, that we're also able to meet that demand, be it from consumers or from our own customers.
What's next for Geopost? You know, where would you like to see the business in 5 years' time when it comes to sustainability?
I think in terms of where I would like us to be, or if I were to look back in 5 years' time, I'd like to be able to say that Geopost has been able to contribute in a very meaningful way to helping create the demand for more sustainable transport solutions. I think we can benefit from the size of our company and the fact that we're present in 50 countries. And I hope that, yeah, in 5 years' time, I can look back and say, yeah, we've helped to be part of the change. And it's good to see that we're going in the right direction as an industry.
And what would that look like? Are there any like tangible examples of how the system might be different if you achieve that goal?
Clearly, what I would love to see is more electric trucks on the road, that we're able to charge them, that they're able to, you know, go greater and run longer distances. I think that would be really proof that we've been able to move things forward.
Karen, thank you for being such a brilliant guest on Purposing.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks again to Karen. Loads of brilliant ideas there. So here are a few things I've taken from the conversation. Compliance doesn't just have to be about raising the floor. In ambitious organisations, it can also be used to raise the ceiling. How could you use compliance to make progress happen faster? We talk a lot about non-financial metrics, but often they feel a bit woolly and hard to engage with. Geopost's carbon budget is different and a great example of making non-financial metrics as tangible and business critical as the financial metrics that most management teams are used to. The role of corporate education. Now, this is something Geopost are just getting started on. But for many organizations, for sustainability to be truly embedded in the business, it must be accompanied by some big shifts in skills. And for that to happen, the content has to be relevant, linked to the commercials, and delivered with a big dose of behavior change. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. If you'd like more practical advice on building a purpose-driven business with brilliant insights from people like Karen, download the Insider's Guide to Purpose at givenagency.com/thinking.